Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Jude chapter number 19. Now if you go to looking for chapters and you can't find them, just look at the verse. Simple little verse. These. Wonder who these are. These be they. How about that? Pretty good identification factor, isn't it? These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. Now, let's recall, if we may, who these are. These are the apostates that Jude is warning us of, telling us that in the last days, here are the things that are going to come to pass, and warning us lest we go to sleep and fail to contend for the faith. Yes. Jude's primary objective when he began to write was to write of the common salvation. But he said, rather than that, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. That word exhort is a strong word. It literally means to verbally force you to contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Contending for the faith. Then Jude gives us the examples of those who have failed to contend for the faith. And he says that they have literally crept in unawares. These who would be dividers, if you will, as we'll see tonight. So these then are they who have crept in unawares. These are they who have failed to really meet muster as far as being a child of God is concerned. They have sang the songs. They have prayed the prayers. They have done all the things as far as outwardly that saints do, but inwardly they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They fail to meet the test. And remember again, Jude is the final exam for the believer. In our next verse, you're going to notice that the whole book of Jude changes. There are basically two sections to the book. And the first section goes down through verse number 19 and verse number 20 through the end of the chapter, tells us of something else entirely. So it changes. It's like closing the door to the warning and then opening the door to that we as believers are to do. So in verse number 19, these are they, as exemplified specifically in this verse, by Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Now remember, he's already mentioned Korah. And Korah was a man who offered the world a religion without a proper mediator. He was one who liked to bring division. He would not humble himself to Moses and to Aaron. He too was of the tribe of Levi. And therefore he felt as though he should have the same rank, so to speak, as did the high priest and as did the prophet of God. But you remember the account? God showed whom he had chosen. And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and all that pertained to them went into hell alive. Now, in this context, these are they who separate. There's confusion among commentators, as there is on all simple subjects of the Scripture, as to what this really means. So let me break the confusion for you tonight, if I may. These are those that those that separate themselves. They themselves move away from. Rather than moving to the Lord God, they are separating themselves from the things of God and to the things of the world. Directly opposite from what the saint is to do. The saint is to separate himself from the world unto God. Let's remember that separation of itself is of no value. You must separate from and separate to at the same time in order for it to be beneficial to you. So we separate from the world and separate to the Lord God. Now watch this. They are separating from God to the world. They separate themselves sensually. Now there's much to be said here, and let me get into this if I may. This word separation literally means to disjoin. It is to like taking something at the joint and taking it apart. If you take the universal joint out of your automobile, how far are you going? You can make all kind of racket. You can make all kind of plans. You can set your GPS for the address. How far are you going? Downhill, and that's it. You hit level ground, you're going to die out real quick. Because you're disjointed. Many, watch this now, many who attend the house of God, even on a regular basis, are disjoined from those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder why Jude, in this little epistle, so snuggled up to the book of the Revelation, would tell us these kind of things. It seems as though Jude takes the warnings of the Lord Jesus, the warnings of the apostles, and puts them all together in kind of a transistorized form, if I may use that term, in kind of a transistorized form, and just shoots us straight in the eyeballs with what's to be said. He doesn't mince words. He simply says it. These are they who separate, and they separate themselves sensually. We don't really have a word to exemplify what this means. But to make it simple, it simply means that they separate to their own desires, their own lust. And then he says that they have not the Spirit. So we have three things now that identify at the last little juncture, the last little shot that Jude has here, he gives us this last three descriptive terms for those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are separators. In the book of Acts, chapter number 20, Paul calls the elders of the church at Ephesus to him. He's headed for Jerusalem. And he's landed in Miletus. And he calls for the elders of the Ephesian church to come to him. And when they come to him, he says, "After my departure shall grievous wolves come in." And he warns them that some will even arise from among themselves. And their whole purpose is to divide and to destroy. Turn back there if we may. Let's just take the time to do this tonight. In Acts chapter number 20, the whole thing begins with Paul warning them to take heed. Verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, watch this, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, their purpose is not to grow the flock, but to destroy the flock. Not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You've been warned. That's what he said. You've been warned. I told you about all this. Now, at the last meeting with you, I shan't meet you again. Here's my warning. Take heed. Take heed. Watch over the flock. See to it that it's not destroyed. And those who will arise from among the number of believers to draw disciples after themselves, mark these men. Show them to be exactly what they are. Again, in Romans chapter number 16. And it's strange that Paul deals with this in the manner that he does. In chapter number 20, if you remember, of the book of Acts, he says, this is the final time. I'm not going to be speaking with you anymore. And here in Romans chapter number 16, the last chapter of this book, one of the last warnings in the book. Look at verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Isn't it strange that in our generation, those who cause divisions are flocked to? That tells me something. Maybe it says nothing to you, but that tells me something. Birds of a feather flock together. And those who are apostates, those who are false teachers, have no problems raising crowds. They gather humongous numbers of people together and have nothing to say to them. I've listened to some of these fellows to see what they have to say, and I find them void of anything to say. There is no spiritual meat put on the table. There is excitement. There is the building of the pride of man. But there are no references to the sovereignty of God. There are no references to the fact that God preordains. Why? Because that destroys their message. Their message appeals to the pride of man. The truth of God never appeals to the pride of man. It always destroys the pride of man. It crucifies man and uplifts the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is not to uplift man. The gospel is to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, mark them. Now, we have been criticized down through the years for naming names. Do you know what that means? Do you know what Paul is saying? Name them. Put a mark on them. So everyone will know that they're disciples of deception. Nowadays, they tell you if you do that, you're guilty of character assassination. I don't know of any character that they have. How can you assassinate something that there isn't? Separating themselves and others from true biblical teaching. Separating themselves from the assembly. I would dare you, I would challenge you. Let me do this. I challenge you to do a study of Rome, or Hebrews chapter number 10, beginning with verse number 25. Just do a study of the next four verses. I won't take long to do that. You can do that in just a few moments. And a good study. Now, it may take you longer than that to get all this out of it, but a good study will reveal something to you that all of us, if we're not careful, will be guilty of. The separators want to separate you from the assembly, make you a loner out there. Do you realize that there are preachers in America that are preaching that the church is no longer useful to God, that God is no longer using the church, and you're just as well off staying at the house, going down by the creek bank, and doing all the other things that everybody else is doing, rather than going to the house of God? But what does the Word of God say? Do a study for me and tell me what you think it says. And let me see if you know what it says when you study it. It's a dangerous thing. A dangerous thing to forsake the assembly. But these are trying to cause the separation in the assemblies and get you away from the assembly. I don't know about you, but I have a need for the assembly. My plans are made to be in the assembly. I don't make plans to miss. I make plans to be there. So then the separators are there to do what they can to pull apart the assembly, to take people from the teaching of the preaching of the Word of God. Do you know the thing that the apostate despises more than anything else is the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God? They'll supposedly teach the Word, but they teach everything but the Word. I've often said most of them would make good vacuum cleaner salesmen or car salesmen. But when it comes to being in the pulpit, they have no business whatsoever. Then this word sensual comes before us. They separate themselves sensually. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 5, they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Simply put, sensual is equated to flesh. Anything that takes place in the flesh, they have separated themselves to do those things rather than the spiritual things. Now, if you can enjoy going fishing on Sunday rather than being in the house of God, you've marked yourself. If you can enjoy going to a ball game, or you can enjoy going to a car race, or you can enjoy doing anything of the world, of the fleshly sort, on the day of the Lord rather than being in the house of God, then you have marked yourself. You see, the saint of God would never be happy in a situation that I just mentioned. He'd find himself guilty on every turn. Every direction he looks, there's conviction. What am I doing here? Why should I not be in the house of God, where I ought to be? All the excuses are numerous. And I would imagine that I've probably heard them all, plus a few. Let me give you an illustration. Some years ago, I visited an elderly man that lived down on the river, the Bell River, in Fernandina Beach, Florida. His wife came to church all the time, and I'd visit him and visit him and visit him and talked with him and talked with him and talked with him. And I went down on this particular day to visit with him, and I said, "Why don't you just load up and come to the house of God with your wife tomorrow?" He said, "Now, Brother Larry," he said, "I would be there, but I've broke my axe handle." I said, "You've broke your axe handle?" "Yes, sir, I broke my axe handle." I said, "What on God's name that I'd have to do to keep you out of the house of God tomorrow?" He said, "That's as good excuse as the fella next door is going to give you." And he was right. He was right. It's an amazing thing, the things that folks come up with. Now listen, we do very little good inviting folks to come to church in this generation. Now, I didn't say stop doing it. I said we do very little good. A simple truth is they are far too entertained otherwise. The flesh is too entertained otherwise. And if the Holy Ghost doesn't begin the work on their heart, you'll seldom ever see them come to the house of God. When Brother Gary and I began preaching, you'd go visit someone and they'd normally show up on Sunday morning. I mean, 9 out of 10 would show up on Sunday morning. But nowadays, you may get 1 out of 100. To show. Why? Because the flesh is being entertained. Those sensual things have taken them away from the things of God. And those who are not truly born again, those who are not disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to darken the door of the church. They're too entertained otherwise. Too many things to excite the flesh. Too much to do out there rather than be in the house of God. I did a series of messages, "Why is the house of God forsaken?" You don't want to hear them. I burn every bridge from New York to L.A. because we don't want to face the issues. We don't mind just dealing casually with these things, but we don't want to face the real issues. We don't want to get down to the nitty-gritty. Jude is down to the nitty-gritty. Those who separate themselves sensually, their whole hope is in the flesh. They're club members, but they're not church members. They belong to every organization known to God and men, but not to the organism, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are they who separate themselves sensually. Now look at this. Why do they do it? Having not the Spirit. Well, now, how about that? Jude says plainly, they just are not part of the family. Now, do you know what you and I would get by saying that today? Oh, you're just judging. What we call this? The final exam. And Jude is throwing out all of the power. It's time to do the damage to the devil. And he said, they do not possess the Spirit of God. Paul made it rather plain in Romans chapter 8 again. In verse number 9 he said, now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Without the Spirit, you are not a spiritual being. Now that ought to be just as plain as the nose on our face. Do you realize that the soul and the body can link together to mock the actions of the Spirit? Physically. And are you aware that most people who call themselves Christians are really not operating in the Spirit, but operating in the flesh? When there's a move of the Spirit, does that move you? I get blessed when anybody else gets blessed. If I'm sitting up here and I see you getting blessed, I get blessed. There's a simple principle here. Let me see if I can give it to you. A harp set on this side of the room and a harp on this side of the room, when tuned perfectly together, one of those harps can be played and the other will sympathize with it and it begins to play as well. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I just told you so.
Yes, sir.
You see, when God starts playing with your heart strings, anyone who's tuned to the same frequency is going to begin to be blessed too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God starts playing with my heart strings and He's doing it right now. You ought to be getting blessed from it.
Yes,
when we miss... Can you imagine? I honestly have a hard time imagining. God saved me as a 9-year-old boy. I've traveled down through these ages 63 years as a child of God. I've enjoyed God playing with my heartstrings. I've learned to identify through those years His touch. And I can't imagine folks being in the house of God and the Holy Ghost moving on anybody and their hearts not being touched. It is a refreshing thing when the Holy Spirit moves through and blesses but one soul. You see, He doesn't have to do this at all. But He passes by. And as He passes by, He just leaves the smell of His aroma on the doorpost and the doorknob. And we know He's been there. Just made a reference to the Song of Solomon. Read it sometime. How blessed we are that He would come and knock on our door. How blessed we are. In all of our excuses, how blessed we are that He would leave the smell of Himself on the door knock. How blessed we are that God would even deal with us at all. I wonder so often, why does God even bless me? Why does He even come to where I am? And the word just uttered is right, brother. Mercy. God's pity on poor old souls like we are to come where we are. Can you imagine? Let me just go wild here for a minute. Can you imagine the God of glory? Now listen to what I'm saying to you. Can you imagine the God of glory just saying, I'm going to pass by where Larry is today? Remember, Jesus must go through Samaria. Every once in a while, God says, I must go by where Larry is. He said of Abraham, Abraham's a faithful man. He'll tell his children and his grandchildren, I don't want to fail to tell my children and my grandchildren and now my great-grandchildren that the Lord just passed by. I don't want to fail to let you know that the Lord just passed by. And here's the thing. You ought to know it when I know it. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. God's Spirit moves in our midst. Do you realize that there are whole denominations that have been invented to destroy the move of the Spirit and to keep themselves from being able to hear God when He whispers? They're busy mimicking and mocking things that they know absolutely nothing about. When the Spirit passes by where you are. Now, I'm not talking about Him living in you. I'm talking about when He passes by in power and just for a moment manifests the darling Son of God in your presence. It's a thing that only God's little children will understand. When we were growing up, we had little family words that we used. Did you do that? Or were we the only strange crowd around? Well, we had little family words, and only the folks in the family knew what those words meant. And we'd say them, and we understood, but nobody else understood. Are you about to get my drift here? When the Holy Ghost passes by and begins to magnify the darling Son of the Lord God Almighty, He's saying things to us that nobody else understands. We've been blessed beyond measure. Amen. Just a little touch of heaven. Yes, sir. Down here on this side. And I don't know about you, but I'm serious about this thing. I believe God's doing this for His children because it's going to get rougher down the road. And He's given us these little times to experience, to let us know that there's better things coming. Amen. You see, you're just getting the aroma from the oven right now. It won't be long till the table's set. Hallelujah. And we'll be tasting the real thing. But God help us. God help us to enjoy the aroma when it's present. God help us to enjoy the songs of Zion when they're sang. God help us to enjoy the preached Word of God and the taught Word of God. God help us to enjoy His divine presence. Not everyone will enjoy what you've enjoyed in the house of God tonight. Not everyone will be able to go home tonight and say, boy, God, just move through. When you say that, in this generation, they kind of look at you strange because, you see, they don't know what you're talking about. They think you've slipped a notch or two off your rocker. And we have. I'll admit it. I'd rather know that God had passed by and just manifest His presence among us than to know there were 10,000 in front of me tonight and all the racket and all the junk that goes on in the name of religion was taking place. I'd just rather know God passed by. And I'd rather be among folks who realize that when it happens. Spirit. Keep that word in mind. Spirit. If you are not a possessor of the Holy Ghost, watch it. If the Holy Ghost is not a possessor of you, you're none of His. I think in this final exam, we need to look at ourselves because when we get into these next verses, there are some things you can't possibly do. Except you know Him.